emphasize this on Sunday too, so we're going to continue to talk about spiritual warfare. You know, we're approaching a high day for satanic influence at the end of this month. Amen? And whether we realize it or not, we are in a spiritual battle. You say, well, I'm not going to take part in it. Well, you're in it whether you like it or not. There are only two forces that operate in this earth, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. So God wants you engaged in this battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's start with verse 3. Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, say in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Say after the flesh. So we live in this body, but we are not to engage in this warfare with the physical means. Okay? There is a different way to fight this battle. We have different weapons. And then he goes on to say, he says, for the weapons, say weapons. Aren't you glad he gives you more than one? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal refers to the flesh, to the physical, to the senses. All right? But mighty through God, say mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So this warfare that we're going to be engaged in is about pulling down strongholds. Say, I'm a stronghold puller. And strongholds in my life are coming down. Well, where are these strongholds? He goes on to tell us. Casting down imaginations. Where do you imagine things? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The Word of God. So when you find something that exalts itself above the Word, guess what? That's something that needs to be pulled down. There is nothing higher than the Word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will what? Never pass away. He said, my Word is forever settled in heaven. Anytime you're tempted to get away from the Word, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? So, do you realize when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt and they were going to go into the land of Canaan, right? I talked about this last week. 12 spies were sent out. They investigated the land. They discovered that it was just like God said. Can you imagine that? That you would actually find exactly the land, exactly how God said it. Well, His Word is truth, okay? But 10 of those spies had a stronghold built up in their minds that they were unable to do what God said. And that stronghold in their mind was called a negative report. As a matter of fact, the Bible called it evil. Why was it evil? Because it contradicted what God said. So in other words, their thoughts of how small they were and how incapable they were, they began to make that higher than the Word. Okay? But two of them agreed with what the Word said, Joshua and Caleb. They said, we are well able to go in, because that's exactly what God said. God said, I'm giving you the land. God had promised them this land for years, ever since Abraham. But that stronghold was not pulled down in their mind. They allowed that stronghold to exalt itself against the Word of God. And what happened to those who agreed with the evil report? They died. They were disqualified from entering into the blessing. Now tell me, are strongholds important? Yes, they need to be demolished. Okay? He goes on to say, and bringing into captivity every thought. Say every thought. When you get a thought that comes against the Word of God, did you know that you can arrest it? You can tell that thought you have a right to remain silent. Amen? That's what it says. To bring into captivity every thought that exalts itself. Okay? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you have a thought that doesn't line up with the Word, that's a rogue thought. Now, it's not wrong to have wrong thoughts, but it's what you do with those thoughts. Do you sit there and dwell on them? Do you sit there and talk about them? Do you sit there and meditate on them? The longer you talk about and meditate on wrong thoughts, it's going to lead to wrong actions. You know, every action starts off as a thought. Too much saliva. Yeah. Do you realize that anything that contradicts the Word is a hostile thought? Let me give you an example. We deal with it all the time. Sickness in our body. Your body is telling you that you're sick. You have the symptoms. You have the physical symptoms. Your body's saying something's wrong. What does God's Word say? He says, by His stripes you were healed. By His stripes I am healed, right? Now, how are you going to pull down that stronghold of that real sickness that causes real problems with real symptoms? You're going to have to make the Word higher than that sickness or disease or whatever that is. Every time that your body reminds you that you're sick, you say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Jesus is my healer. How long do you do that, Pastor, until that sickness leaves? You're making the Word of God higher than your physical senses. All right? And then in verse 6, he says we have to be ready to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. See, why is this important? Because when you know how to fight, you can go into where the enemy is operating, and you can be bold and confident, and you can take over. Isn't that what David did? Goliath had the whole Israel army paralyzed with what? Words. He hadn't done anything for 40 days except twice a day he would speak words. And twice a day the soldiers of Israel would hear those words and they were like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What happened? Goliath's words became a stronghold in their life. And then someone who wasn't even a soldier, a young boy by the name of David, came on the scene and he heard Goliath's word. He goes, what? What is he saying? He goes, no one messes with my God. Exactly. Same thing with Joshua and Caleb. The minute they heard the bad report, they said, we are well able to take it. When Jesus came on the scene of Lazarus, he said, he is not dead. He's alive. So there was David, who when he heard these words, he got ticked off. Why? Because he was talking about his God. And David said, you don't mess with my God. And then he said, you know, what's going to happen to the guy that gets him? Well, you're not going to have to pay taxes. You're going to get to marry the king's daughter and you're going to be rich. He said, tell me again now. What, you know, I mean, the king's daughter was pretty. And not to have to pay taxes? Come on. You want to get involved in a battle that has a reward. So David said, tell me again. And he said, okay, so he went to Saul. And he said, Saul, I'll go out and fight him. And Saul said, oh, David, you're just a boy. He said, but he so believed in it, he convinced Saul. Saul said, here, I'll give you my stuff. And he gave David his armor. He said, no, I haven't proved that. I got to fight how I know how to fight. See, if David would have used Saul's armor, he'd have been in trouble. In the battle, you got to be you. You can't be anybody else. Come on. Come on, Pastor Fiona. Come on. Amen. Amen, sister. Come on. That's why we're going over this stuff. Because we are in the greatest fight that we have ever faced. As a people, as a nation, God's getting ready to do some things. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Paul told Timothy, he said, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them, say by them, might wage a good warfare. So how was Timothy going to fight? He had to go according to the word that was spoken over him. Did you know that when God tells you something, he says, you're this. Do you realize the devil's going to challenge you on that? They tried to kill Moses as a baby. They tried to kill Jesus as a baby. They tried to take him out over and over again. Don't tell me that the devil's not going to challenge you. When it's revealed to you what God has for you and you accept it, the devil's going to challenge you. But you know what? He can't win. When you know who you are in Christ, he can't win. He can't touch you. He can't mess with you. He can't make you do anything. You just say, shut up. You know, one time, Lester Summerall was in a hotel, it was Smith Wigglesworth. He was in his house, and he heard some commotion down the stairs. So he got up, went downstairs, and it was the devil in his house, and he said, oh, it's only you, and went back to bed. Come on now. You can do that when you know who you are in Christ. So he told Timothy, There's a means by which you're going to fight this war. You're going to wage what kind of war? A good one. Say a good one. We serve a good captain. He'll cause you to win every battle. If you just listen to him, if you just obey him, there's not a battle that you'll encounter that you'll lose. It doesn't matter how much the devil sends. You know what? Let me tell you something about the devil. He might come at you one time, but the next time he comes at you, he tries to puff himself up even bigger. He's like a blowfish. You ever see a blowfish, you know? They puff themselves up real big. He's just nothing but, he's full of hot air. Don't let the size of your enemy scare you. Okay? Verse 19. He's going to give us some keys here on how to fight this warfare. Holding faith. Say holding. How long should you hold? Never let go of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. All right? So you've got to hold faith. That means when it's the toughest and the darkest, you've got to hold on to faith. You've got to exalt faith above your problems. Faith is bigger than any enemy that you will face. Faith is more powerful than any enemy that you will ever face. I'm telling you, holding faith. Notice he didn't say hold it for a day, hold it for an hour. He said holding. That means never let go. And a good conscience. Say a good conscience. Do you realize if you're going to wage this warfare, it's going to require character. It's going to require holiness and righteousness. Because impurity gives place to the enemy. Impurity. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, if having a good conscience, what's a good conscience? Did you know that your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit? Oh, you thought when you're a little boy or a little girl, something inside of you was telling you, don't take that cookie. It's not time to have that cookie. Don't take that cookie. What's speaking to you? That's your conscience. That is your inward witness. That is your still small voice. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And in order for you to fight this warfare, you've got to have a good conscience. That means you've got to listen to what your conscience is saying. Shakespeare, to thine own heart be true. Which, having some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Oh yeah. They let go of their faith. They let go of their conscience, and they ended up as a shipwreck. You know what happens to a shipwreck? That's when a ship hits something and goes to pieces. It's wrecked. It can't do what it was supposed to do. The minute you let up on your faith, you could be headed for a shipwreck. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. Well, actually, let's start with verse 1. Okay? He said, thou therefore, my son or my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Say, be strong in the grace. What's his grace? It's his power. It's his ability. It's his favor. It's more than just unmerited favor. It's his power and his ability. And you can be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Did you know that there's grace, there's ability and power in Christ? How do you be strong in it? Well, you stay in it. You activate it. Because we are saved by grace through faith. Grace just gives you access to God. That means when you feel overwhelmed, you begin to pray. When cares are coming on you, you cast them onto the Lord. That's what it means to be strong in the grace. In other words, when you're at your worst moment, yield to God. Turn to God. I'll give you an example of yielding to being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, they got that demon-possessed woman set free, and they were put in jail for it because all of her bosses, they were losing money because she was telling fortunes and they were gaining a lot of money from her. And he cast that devil out. You know, when you cast a devil out, you're going to stir up some things. And so they were put in prison, right? After they were beaten. Okay, now you have to get this picture. Their wounds were fresh. They were put in darkness, in a dungeon, okay? And they were chained to the wall. How'd you like to have chains on you after having just been beaten? Okay? Now tell me, do you think they felt like praising the Lord? Huh? No. They did not feel. If they'd have went by their feelings, they'd have been in trouble. But in midnight, they chose to be strong in the grace and they began to praise God. Now, were they silent? No, because the Bible says the other prisoners heard them. And as they began praising God, something happened, an earthquake. Woo! God got excited. Says, that's my boys. You're being strong in the grace. He's saying, come on now, come on. I'm telling you, he shook the place. Because at their worst hour, at their worst moment, they chose to put praise above their feelings. Now, if they could do it, say, I can do it. That's right. Now, let me ask you something. Be strong in the grace. Is that a suggestion? Be strong in the grace if you want to. Be strong in the grace if you feel like it, if you're up to it. No, it's not a suggestion. Okay? Verse 2. And the things that you have heard among many witnesses. Say many witnesses. You know, whenever the devil puts you on trial, he's a prosecuting attorney. He uses guilt, shame, condemnation as his witnesses against you. Do you know that you have witnesses that speak for you? John, let's call John to the stand. Let's call Matthew to the stand. Let's call Paul to the stand. Let's call Joshua to the stand. Come on. Many witnesses. You've got 40 witnesses that will speak for you on your behalf. This is enough evidence to cause something to be that wasn't there before. And the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You therefore endure hardness. Say hardness. You mean it's going to be hard? Yeah. You got a problem with hardness? Oh, you want it just easy? You want it just smooth through life? If you don't have a test, you don't have a testimony. Come on. He's telling Timothy, a preacher, endure hardness like what? A good soldier. Come on, soldiers have it hard, don't they? Got to leave their family, got to live in tents, you know, got to do some rough things. Yeah. They got to go to boot camp. They get the boot. Notice, a good soldier of who? Of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You know what that word entangled means? It means to entwine. Do you know what happens when the word of God is sown or it's spoken? Satan comes immediately to try to steal that word. Or sometimes that word is sown among thorns. And the cares of this world, the affairs of this life, they enter in and they begin to entwine themselves around it and they choke the word, making it unproductive. Did you know that if you get entangled in the affairs of this life, it's going to choke your faith? Why did he say, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life? Why? This life is going to pass away. Should we neglect this life? No. But you know what? You are just a visitor in this life. This world is not your home. You are citizens of heaven. You've been translated into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's Son. This world is not your home. Did you know that we can be in the world but not of it? You can actually live above it through the gospel. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. How many want to please him who chose you to be a soldier? Do you realize he thought you worthy enough to be chosen on his side? He chose you. Oh, you thought you chose him? No. He had your number long before you ever made that decision. He chose you. He said, I want you, 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 I want you. And did you know that in Christ you can do all things? You can. Say, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. I love this verse, these verses, verses 1 and 2. He said, blessed be the Lord, my strength. Say, my strength. Did you know that the Lord is your strength? You can say when you're feeling weak, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm weak, right? It doesn't say, let the weak say I'm weak. What should the weak say? What should the weak say again? Okay. Oh. Which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know how we fight sickness? We lay hands. As many believers, say, who, do we have any believers in here? It didn't say as many preachers lay hands on the sick, did it? As many evangelists that lay hands on the sick? It says as many believers lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Did you know that when you lay your hands on someone who's sick, you're waging war against that sickness? So, he teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Verse 2. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdues people under me. Did you know that he'll subdue? It's all about us being in Christ. That's our position from where we need to fight. What did David tell Goliath? He said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you with what? The name of the Lord. Everything, how he faced Goliath. What's a Goliath in your life? The biggest obstacle you've ever looked at. It's the loudest obstacle you've ever heard. It's the most ugly thing that you've ever faced. And if you can, and you can speak to it. You can speak to it. Goliath said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. And David said, I'm going to cut your head off. Did David do what he said he was going to do? Yes, he did. He knocked Goliath out. So, these are warfare terms. Fortress, high tower, deliverer, shield, in whom I trust. See, you got to trust him. You got to trust who he is and whose you are. Go with me to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Look at we'll start with verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work you did in their days in the times of old. Did you know that God did some things before? He proved himself before, so why wouldn't he prove himself now? How you did drive out the heathen with your hand and planted them. How you did afflict the people and cast them out, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you have a favor unto them. You are my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Did you know that his decree commands deliverance for you? Who do you think drove out the land, all the enemies of the land of Canaan? They were a type and a shadow of of the demonic influences today. So he commands deliverances for Jacob. Though through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. He's talking about the physical means. You can't trust in your intellect. You can't trust in your strength. Okay? Verse 7, but you have saved us from our enemies and have put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise your name forever. Think about that for a moment. It is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, he told Joshua, or Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles 20, he said, Jehoshaphat, he said, this battle is not yours but mine, but you just need to go out and face the enemy. You just need to show up to an action movie. You know, I'm surprised he didn't give Jehoshaphat some popcorn. All he had to do was show up. He didn't have to fight. And Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, was given this divine strategy. Send the praisers out before the warriors. King, they're not armed. Send the praisers out before the warriors. You know, sometimes you just need to send your praise ahead to clear the way. What happened? When they began to praise, God began to move and confuse the enemy. The enemy was fighting against themselves. By the time Jehoshaphat got to where the battle was taking place, they were all dead. I like that action movie. And it took Jehoshaphat 3 days gathering up the spoil. Three kings came up against Jehoshaphat. But you know what he did? He fell on his face. He sought God. He got everybody to fast for 3 days and to worship. He got God's divine direction before he went into battle. Don't rush into battle too quick. Find out what God has to say about the battle that you face. Let him give you a strategy. All right? Because how you won last time may not be how you're going to fight this time. Don't rely on the past. Rely on God. Let him speak to you. Let him give you a word to fight. He might want to do something different. Amen? Go with me to Daniel chapter 10. Right after Ezekiel. All right. Verse 4, Daniel 10:4. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up. Wait, let's see here. Okay, yeah. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like a chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Does that sound pretty powerful to you? Yeah. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. As I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Say, your words were heard. I want you to see something here. Daniel had been praying and fasting for 21 days. All right? Now, some people could have quit at day 19. I've been fasting and praying and God ain't speaking to me. I'm going to quit. But you know, that's not what faith does. Faith does not quit ever. How long shall I believe for this until you get it? Amen? So, he set his heart to gain understanding, to humble himself before God. His words were heard. Did you know that God hears you the minute you pray? Okay. And I have come in response to them. I'm reading from the NIV. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me. Say, resisted me. Okay, so God, while Daniel was praying, God heard his words the minute he started praying, and God dispatched an angel to come to Daniel, but the angel was resisted or delayed. Say, delayed. You know, the devil cannot stop God's answer from getting to you. He can only delay it. If he can get you out of faith, he'll cause delays to come to you to knock you out of faith, because once you're out of faith, you can't receive. That's why we got to fight the good fight of faith. That's why we got to stay, keep engaged in this battle. You can never let up. Okay? But the prince of the Persian kingdom, he's talking about a demonic angel, a demon spirit, okay? He resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, say chief prince. He's the bouncer. Michael's the enforcer of heaven, okay? He's the warrior. He's the general of God's army. And so Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time to come. So I want you to understand something, that when you pray, there are things that are happening where you cannot see. And if the Lord so chooses to let you see, then so be it. That's great. There's a gift called discerning of spirits. It opens your eyes into the spirit realm to see either demons or angels. And there are times when God will show you these things. And who knows what you're going to do when you see an angel. Oh yeah, I saw an angel. I mean, some people that saw an angel, they dropped to the floor like dead men. Daniel, he was like, whoa, what is this? Okay? But I want you to see how God heard his prayer. But he had to remain in faith. He had to fight. He had to take a stand until that answer came. Because God fully intends to answer every prayer. Every prayer that's prayed in faith, every prayer that's prayed according to the word, he has an answer for you. Just because you haven't heard an answer in 20 days doesn't mean he hasn't answered you. Because on the 21st day, you might get your answer. But the point is, are you going to hang in there in faith, or are you going to let the devil's delays shake you out of your faith? Well, it's been 3 years, and I still ain't got it. God must not want me to have it. That's not true. Listen, faith knows no time. Faith is eternal. So unless God gives you a time, like such and such is going to happen in this many days, you just keep holding on. Holding faith. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Holding faith. But the devil will try to delay. And the purpose of his delay is to shake your faith. Because if he can get you out of faith, he wins.
It means you don't try to manipulate
to get. Oh, yeah, come on. Manipulation is witchcraft. Yeah. You try to manipulate, oh, if you do this, I'll do this. Uh-uh. You say, God said it, I believe it. And no matter how long it takes, Father, I believe it. I believe your word. Oh, I thank you, Father. Your promises is true. Your word is true. How'd you like to be Joshua and Caleb? 2:10. Joshua and Caleb were in the minority. Their stance that they took was not popular with everybody else. They stood out like a sore thumb. You're crazy thinking you can take these giants. Yeah? Who got in? The ones who held the word got in. The ones who let go of the word failed and died in the wilderness. Whole generation. So yeah, when you're holding on to faith, you know, the guys that were with Daniel got so frightened they left him. Come on, he was there by himself. Oh, Pastor, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Really? Oh yeah, I got 7,000 that you didn't know about. Isn't that what Elijah did? He was having a little pity party. God, I'm the only one. And God says, excuse me, but I have 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. What? 7,000? See, when you start to have a pity party, remember, you're not that special. You are not the only one that's going through what you're going through. I'm sorry. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings, and then we're going to close tonight. 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Oh, and we're going to learn the tools of the enemy, but we're going to learn the victories that God has given us over the tools of the enemy. Okay? Okay. Let's go to verse 8, 2 Kings 6, 8. All right? The king of Syria warred against Israel. Who do you think was behind Syria? The enemy? The evil one? And took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. What did God do? God revealed the plans of the enemy to the prophet, who told the king, who was able to prepare ahead of time. Guess what? What the enemy does never takes God by surprise. And if we'll just take some time to listen to him, he'll show you. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? He'll show you things to come. He'll show you what's ahead. You know, I've talked to some people. They said, you know, I just shouldn't get on this plane. I shouldn't get on this plane. And they come to find out they don't get on the plane and something happens to the plane. Well, what's that? That's why you got to have a good conscience. You got to be able to hear that voice on the inside of you. God doesn't always speak with a bullhorn. Hey, you! Now, he'll do that if he needs to, but guess what? He's not going to do that all the time. Why? Because he expects you to grow in intimacy with him. He expects you to know his voice, that he doesn't have to speak so loudly. Anyway, okay? Verse 10. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Assyria was sore troubled. And anyway, to make a long story short, Elisha kept having the enemy's plans revealed to him, so that the enemy could not spring a trap on Israel. Did you know that we're delivered by the arrow that flies, we're delivered of the snare of the fowler and the arrow that flies by day? You know what a snare is? It's a trap. God will warn you of a trap. All right? And go down to verse 14. So the king of Syria got really upset because he thought that there was a spy in his midst. But then they found out, well, it's the prophet's fault. So he was going to go and capture the prophet, okay? Verse 14, he says, therefore sent he there horses and chariots and a great host. Say a great host. Now, I want you to get this picture. He sent horses, he sent chariots, and a great host to capture one man. Come on. This is what the enemy does. He tries to make himself look bigger than what he is. Do you realize that when Jesus comes back and he gets ready to put the devil in the lake of fire, people are going to say, this is him who deceived the nations? You've got to be kidding me. Anyway. And they came by night and they compassed the city. They surrounded the city for one man. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he just had some eggs, and he got up early at the sunrise, and he went forth, and behold, the host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? He walks out to get some fresh air, and he sees all these horses. He's like, oh my gosh! And he answered, fear not. Say, fear not. See, this is another thing that the enemy tries to do. He tries to make himself look bigger to get you into fear. Because if you're in fear, you're not in faith. Oh, this bill is too big. How am I going to pay it? Fear not. Fear not. For they that be with us, say be with us, are more than they that be with them. Do you realize that there were some spirits behind them that were motivating them to attack him? But Elijah said, fear not, because we got more on our side. All right? Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Say, open my eyes. That he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Come on now. The enemy gathered physical chariots and horses, and God had angelic chariots and horses around Elisha. And Elisha had some insight into who he was in Christ. He wasn't in Christ yet, but he was in God. Verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Wow. You talk about how you going to get out of this one. I'm going to make my enemy blind. He said, Lord, smite. He smote the whole army with blindness. All of a sudden, the swordsman was like, I can't see. Where's my sword? Can you imagine? And then look at what Elisha does. I love this. Verse 19, and Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Verse 20, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, you shall not smite them. Would you smite those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So can you imagine? He called blindness and he led them into captivity without firing a shot. But do you? I read those two stories for this. I wanted you to get a behind-the-scenes look of the activity that takes place in everything that we do. You can go into an atmosphere and you can tell what the atmosphere is full of. But you have the ability to change the atmosphere. Amen? So, we're going to get more into this. And we're just going to believe God that we have revelation, that our eyes be opened. And I want you to realize that you have angelic forces on your behalf. And no matter what enemy comes against you, God will always make you victorious. Amen?
And Elisha used the
weapon. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And, you know, he did not get nervous. He did not allow fear to take place. You got to nip fear in the bud. You know, fear is an enemy. Doubt's an enemy. So, there are some flyers in the back for our concert on October 25th. Oh, they're on the podium too. Take some and pass them around. Invite your friends. It's going to be a great time. We want to target young people. So if you know some young people that can benefit, they'll really enjoy it. So it'll be a blessing. Put some in your post office in your neighborhood or whatever, or in a convenience store, and let's get the word out. Amen? All right. Y'all have a great evening. You mighty warriors.